Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Collaborators Unite podcast. Chuck Anderson here, your host. And this is the show where we serve big impact experts. And that's you. If you and your business and your work, your desire to make a big positive impact in the lives of your clients, your community, and even the world is what drives you. And we know that because from conversations, we know that most people in our community prioritize impact over profits. Now, you have to be profitable also to make a bigger impact, but it's not the pursuit of money, let's put it that way. Now, as you are making your big positive impact, an inevitable part of that is sales. And we're going to talk about sales today, and specifically sales systems. Because what if you could have a sales system that made it easier, you didn't even feel like you were selling in a lot of cases, and really brought you that consistency so that you can make a bigger impact? So today I have an expert in this, Jeremy DeMerchant, which I've known for many, many years. And I am thrilled, Jeremy, that you're finally on the show. So welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to dive deep into this. I think a great place to start is tell everybody a little bit more about yourself and how did it come to be that you do the work that you do with sales and sales systems?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I'm excited to chat with your audience. So for me, I fell in love with sales at a very young age. I was working at a convenience store when I was about 14 years old. And one day there's this $1 scratch ticket. And here in Canada, we've got a pool hall or billiards hall called Dooley's. And so this scratch ticket had the Dooley's brand on it. And I wasn't a very athletic person, still not, but I enjoyed playing pool. And so I saw these and got really excited, but I was still too young to buy them myself. Wink, wink. But what I did was when people came in, because I was excited, I said, hey, have you seen these? You should buy one. And the first person bought two. And the next person came in and I said the same thing. Have you seen these? You should buy one. And he bought two. And it continued throughout the weekend. And over the two shifts that I worked on a Saturday and Sunday at this convenience store, I sold out of these tickets. And I realized that if I could share my excitement with somebody else about something, it can significantly impact whether or not they take action on that decision. And so from there, in some cases, it kind of became a game. I'm not sure that selling lottery tickets or scratch tickets is necessarily something that's good for someone's health or a great habit to get in, but it was fun at that point. And then as I continued through my career, I was in the call center scene, learned how to become a coach in the call center world, and also realized that sales is like having a superpower. And just like Uncle Ben said, with great power comes great responsibility. And so there's the ethical side of sales as well. You're influencing people. You can influence what people do. And you got to play nice because, you know, karma will come and get you basically, you know. And from a business perspective, if you're doing things that are only self-serving, your career is going to be really, really short. And I'm happy to say my career has been pretty long so far. So those lessons kind of stacked up, and fast forward to my last real job, as I call it. I was director of admissions at an online university where we were helping people enroll in $30,000 online degrees in a single phone call. And then when I left there, I thought, you know what? I've helped people make millions of dollars and I've got a little itty bitty piece of the pie. What if I went off on my own, helped a lot more people make millions of dollars, and maybe I'll get an itty bitty bit more piece of the pie? And that started my journey for my consulting group and my own business back in 2014. So here we are, I guess almost 12 years later at this point, and we're still going. One piece that I will also mention is that started as a sales consulting company. I had this vision. If you're a fan of things like, I like the show Boston Legal way back in the day. Really dating myself here.
Oh wow.
But the show Scandal or even Suits, for example, the idea that a whole group of people can come around a table and solve a problem. That's what I saw my business being. So legally, my business is called Permission to Sell Consulting Group. Now, I'm basically the group, but I wanted it to be more. And this is the beauty of technology now, is that the world is so small thanks to technology. So I can bring people in from different expertise. And it's kind of like what you're doing in the podcast here, right? Bring people from all around the world, and in an instant, they can be there to support anyone that needs it. And so as the consulting side of things grew, I also ran into a challenge where people were asking me what technology they should be using as part of their sales process. I was really good at helping people with sales conversations, but on the tech side, it was, well, go try ActiveCampaign for your emails. Go use ClickFunnels for your landing pages. And I was just referring people to all these different places. And most of them were good at that one thing, but I found that there was just this gap. And like, I sent them off to some other company that I had no influence over. And sometimes they'd come back and go, I'm really struggling. And I wasn't really in a place to be able to help them. So a few years ago, along with the sales coaching, I added in the technology side and really got to dig into what we can put in place from technology, so automation and now AI. What can we do to support people's process so that it shifts from, I really hope someone shows up on the sales call and maybe I'll close a sale, to a repeatable process that I'd like to compare to McDonald's. And McDonald's systems are so successful all over the world because they're so structured and simple that a 15 or 16-year-old can do it. And we tend to put so much pressure on salespeople. And if you're a solopreneur, that salesperson might be yourself. And it can be tough. Great salespeople can struggle if the system's not set up properly. And so people that don't consider themselves great salespeople, the problem's even bigger. And so that's kind of where I like to play now, is how do we design and architect the ideal structure for someone's process so that they create this buyer's journey that takes people from point zero in the experience all the way through to this phenomenal respect and authority for your brand and what you do, and show them that this is what's going to solve your problem, if indeed it does.
Yeah, I love that. And that is a great foundation for this conversation as well, because when we talk about big impact experts, so many of them, there's different beliefs for sure, but most of them, when you talk to them, they will say that they don't love sales. So there's that. And I always look at it as an inevitable part of that. But the other thing, too, is that when we surveyed our audience just recently for an event that we did, the number one answer that we got was, in terms of what they need or what they want or what they're struggling with, is the lack of consistency in sort of like acquiring new clients. And so let's speak to that a little bit. I mean, there's the belief side. I mean, the sales, I mean, let's address that. And then, you know, I think the systems probably are what's going to add to the consistency, but I think they might be interconnected, because the beliefs are really going to be foundational, right? Like, that's going to kind of drive everything that you do from that point forward. So
absolutely.
What's your experience with that?
Well, so when I started this whole sales consulting journey, I called the company Permission to Sell Consulting Group. I mentioned the group part, but the permission to sell portion came from realizing that I live in Atlantic Canada. I'm in New Brunswick. And we're like, so in the East Coast, we've got this reputation for being, I mean, as Canadians, we're known as being really nice, always saying sorry for no good reason. And especially in the East Coast of Canada, we're known for just being way too modest and being like almost paranoid to talk about the things we do that are great. And when I first started this journey, I started calling myself the startup sales strategist. I thought I could come in, help startups grow their sales, because sales is sales is sales for the most part. And I realized that startups fell into one of two categories. They were broke and bootstrapping it, or they had just gotten a chunk of money from an investor and I was too small to be considered a proper person to help them. So either way, that wasn't going to work for me. But in the startup space, I was finding people that were coming from a job, and maybe they quit because they didn't like their boss. Maybe they got fired. Maybe they saw that something was going on in the company that they would do differently and wanted to prove that they could do it. But none of those scenarios is a great formula for sales success. It just means that you're ideally a good executor on the actual delivery of a product. But if you can't make a sale, there's nothing to deliver. And so when it comes to the mindset of sales, it's first giving yourself permission to sell. Like, you need to give yourself permission to sell before a prospect ever gives you permission to sell to them. It starts with you. There's a story that Zig Ziglar shares in probably multiple books, but I've heard it probably in, well, at least a few audio recordings. And he tells a story about doing sales to someone who just came out of a fire and almost lost their home. And it's the mindset shift where the person he's telling the story to was like, well, I didn't dare want to make them, offer them to buy this because I didn't want them to spend the little bit of money they had left. And he turns it around and says, no, but look, what you're offering them could completely save the little bit they do have left if they put it in place now. Because if this next level of urgency happens or disaster happens, there's no more backup. And so I forget the details, but something like I'm selling a smoke detector or something like that. But the idea is that you can look at almost any situation from two or three or four different points of view. And the one that you need to focus on is the one that's going to help you actually make an offer to somebody. Sales isn't about pushing something down someone's throat. It's about making sure that you do everything in your power to show them the vision you have for them. Hopefully get them to see it if you think it's actually going to help them, and then let them decide. And so if you go and make the decision ahead of time, I'm not going to make an offer to these people, you might have just stopped them from getting something that could positively change their life, all because you were nervous to ask for money. And this is a little controversial, but I look at it this way. If you're giving into your insecurities as a sales professional or as a business owner and making that decision up front, and that's what it is, right? You're too nervous. You don't want to have somebody dislike you if you make an offer at the wrong time. That's selfish. You're serving your own insecurity and not even giving the person that you claim to want to help a chance. So we got to shift that. I want to always be putting the decision in someone else's hands, ideally in a scenario where I truly see what the outcome could be, the value of that outcome. And my goal is to just show them. If they don't see it, and if I try, you can't help everybody. But if I go into a conversation, I don't want to just sell somebody for the sake of selling. That doesn't help anybody, right? It wasn't too bad for a $1 scratch ticket when I was 14. But if we're talking, $100,000 programs or, systems that are going to impact multiple levels of your business, we got to be clear on what that outcome could be, what that beneficial outcome is going to be. And then we need to show that to the prospect. And the moment we start to make a decision on whether we move forward or not, purely based on our insecurity, I don't want to upset them. I don't want to call them now because they might get mad. It's just being selfish. We're feeding the wrong beast, and it doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. And, if you think about this desire to make a big impact, it's out of alignment with that. Mm-hmm. And so if we say we want to make a big impact, but at the on the other hand, we don't want to, sell that confidently, then it's definitely an alignment conversation. So what I really felt and what I heard when you were saying that was, it's that belief level in how does the product or service that you are offering benefit someone. And I love the Zig Ziglar story as well. It's like, how could that save them? Not just change it. We always look at gain, but what could it save them from as well? And if you're really grounded in the impact that your thing makes, then I think we can sort of tick the box there. And that, like, I love what you said, that permission to sell. I love now I see the connection with the name, and I didn't get that before. And that's really cool. That's a great way to say it. Like, give yourself permission to sell confidently. And so now if you are giving yourself permission to sell confidently, what is the thing we hear the most, at least recently, is the lack of consistency, right? Mm. So if we've addressed the mindset part of it, now, what do we need to do? And you mentioned systems. Like, what do we need to do to really kind of like drive sales so that they are consistent? And I would also suggest there at some point be a point of scalability, but consistency first, right?
Right, so. Absolutely. Well, as we sit here in 2026, we're in an economy of attention deficit. And it's so easy for people to just blow by the things that are important and focus on the shiny objects, the dopamine hits. And so we need, and that's not just our potential customers or prospects, it's us as business owners, as salespeople. It's so easy for us to go and want to chase the big sale. Like, I was, in a past life, I was in the insurance business, and I spent so much effort and months into one client who I was sure was going to be a big deal and was going to be a big commission check. And it was a guy I knew really, really well. I was like, oh, he would never back out on this. And he did. He backed out. So I lost essentially 2 months of work and zero commission, and I didn't have anything else to focus on. So we get focused on what we think is going to be the best for us in the short term. But when we put systems in place, it allows us to be consistent across the board. So number one is actually just deciding on some rules for how your business is going to run. And there's no set rules of what this has to be. You just need to decide, do you want to make sure that you're really giving every effort when somebody submits information to you, whether it's an opt-in, they download some kind of free gift? Do you want to make sure that if there's any chance at all that you can help them, that you're doing it? If that's the case, great. What would the ideal activity be if you're doing it yourself? I'm not worried about automation or systems in this particular context, but think of it from a procedure. What's the procedure that should be done? And think of it as you've got an employee that's going to do it. What would you tell them to do? So take your concerns of, oh, I don't want to make the phone call. Like, take that out. Say, if you've got someone that's going to do exactly what you tell them, what are the steps you want them to take? And then once you've got that mapped out, then we can look at, okay, how can we systemize it? How do we build some technology around it to help? Because it's one thing if you're going to block off an hour a day to call people that opted in from the day before. I would love if people did that, and most people aren't going to. But if you can have systems around it, whether it's an automated email, whether it's AI doing outbound calling, somebody opts in, there's no reason in 2026 why they can't have an immediate experience with your brand after that happens. And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but statistically, the value of increasing your speed to lead, as it's used, you know, buzz terms, makes such a difference in your results. In a past life, I mentioned the online universities. We were in a scenario where they would buy leads from a single source, and multiple universities would go from the same source. So someone would opt in and say, yes, I want to learn about online education. And the leads would go to multiple schools like that. And the first person to get a hold of the prospect was usually the one that got the sale. And being in that environment, if the focus is to help, like a lot of people, if in the moment when they make the decision to look for more information or get some kind of support, and again, back to the free opt-in, or they're going to watch a webinar or whatever it is, that's the point where what I refer to as their momentum is the highest. And momentum, I use that word to describe when someone's enthusiasm to get the end result you're promising is kind of moving towards its peak. So as that momentum grows, the likelihood of buying grows. And purchases are made when someone's momentum is at a peak. Like I use a scale of like out of 5 or out of 10. And they've got to be like a 5 out of 5 or a 10 out of 10 before they're going to say, yes, let's move forward. And so when we're mapping out a sales process, the most dangerous thing, the kryptonite to us helping people is time. I opted in for something. Maybe an email came back and it landed in my junk mail, so I forgot about it. And I missed the webinar that I might have been signing up for, and it never crossed my mind again. But in the moment when I clicked, there was a problem that I felt like I could solve or that I should solve. And now it's gone. The problem didn't go away, though. Just my attention to it went away. And so maybe 3 months down the road, I'll see another ad that might solve that same problem. And it's back to being prevalent in my mind at the time. But there's not many problems in your business that are going to be easier to solve 6 months from now than they are today. And for your customers, even if you're working with consumers, time ends up causing more problems than less if there's something that's broken. If it's, I need to figure out, my money challenges, maybe you're a finance coach. I promise you, getting a hold of somebody today is going to be much more effective than getting a hold of them 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, can literally change their life. So there's almost no scenario where time works in your favor in the sales process. And one of the most powerful things is shortening that process as much as possible. So on the front end, that speed to lead, as soon as somebody opts in or shows interest, you want to be able to have a conversation with them or engage them in some way as quickly as possible. And then on the other end of things, when you're in those conversations, cut your follow-up. We have such a horrible habit of saying, I'll give you a call next week. Chuck, I hate to tell you, next week is where sales go to die. Like, yes, they're gone, right? Yeah. That momentum drops because when you get off a call or whatever that interaction is, they start thinking, oh, well, I forgot to ask Jeremy this. He should have just told me. Maybe I don't trust him. Or talking to a friend. Oh, you know what? I was talking to this Jeremy guy and he's in the sales system. Oh, I've heard about sales systems. This AI stuff's just taking over the world. You should avoid it. Okay. And the momentum drops. And then before you know it, they're less interested in what you have to say than they were before they even opted in or before you had that first conversation. And so it just, that deal goes to die. And the more important issue is that the person's problem never gets solved. Now, if you can shorten that window of the follow-up, and your audience might think I'm nuts for saying this, but I promise you, there's a lot of things I talk about that are like, you know, theoretically, this is what I believe, but I will tell you statistically, this makes one of the biggest differences. And it's if your follow-up from a sales call can happen within 48 hours, it changes everything. And if you can make it within 24 hours, it like you'll almost double your conversion. And it's only because there's been less room for other people's opinions to get in the mix. There's been less time for people to forget that they had this problem. If you say, oh, you know, call, I'm busy. Call me back next week. You know what, Chuck? I appreciate that. I understand we're all busy. But look, is there really anything that's going to change between tomorrow afternoon and next Friday? Probably not that's going to work in your favor. So why don't we just get this decision checked off your list and make the rest of your week a whole lot lighter? I got time tomorrow at 3. How's that work for you? Like, it doesn't have to be a pushy conversation. You just need to truly believe that it's valuable for them to do it. Back to that mindset. If you come across going, well, I got a spot tomorrow at 1. Would you be free then? No one's going to feel the confidence because it doesn't exist. You feel like you're pushing somebody, like you're trying to be salesy. But if you truly believe that if you can keep the conversation going and the momentum going and minimize how much drop-off they have in momentum, then not only is it going to be a much easier sale for you, it's an easier adoption for them. Help them change their life. Help them fix that problem. Forget about your insecurities and let's make processes and systems that make it really, really easy. Now, you just saying, let's follow up within 48 hours or 24 hours is such an easy thing to do, but it gets overlooked. You don't need technology for that. I mean, a calendar, say, you know, got time tomorrow too. Book it in your calendar manually if you don't have a technology that'll do it, but it can be so easily done. I love the tech because it makes it really scalable once you've got systems mapped out, but you don't need all the tech. You just need to make decisions and stick to them around what that standard of your delivery is going to be, what the level of execution is going to be. But as humans, especially me, I'm someone that's got ADHD, so I fall victim every day to what I call emotional discretion, which is just a fancy sounding way for me to say, if I don't want to do it, I don't do it. Like, I do what I feel like, you know, emotional discretion, but we've got to cut it out because that's what kills the consistency. We don't feel like making the calls. We're nervous about the fall. We tell ourselves a story about this lead that shows up in our system that we realize they popped in there 2 weeks ago and we missed it. Well, guess what? Waiting a day is not going to make it any better. So call them now.
I love that. You know, that you said that next week is where sales go to die. And next week is almost the default on both sides of the conversation.
Yep.
Both on the prospect and the person who is the service provider or doing in the sales role. And it's like, you know, my takeaway from that is like, let's stop letting that be the default. And I really like what you said is that the best time to follow up is within 48 hours. Yeah. And that really shortens it. And all the reasons you mentioned are great. I love everything we're saying. And I want to make sure that before we run out of time, that we give people some thought. You know, what should they be thinking about, looking at? What are some of their next steps? And I know you've got something that will help them with that. But everyone who's resonated with this, what do they do next to really take a look at their sales process and what can they do to improve it?
So I would suggest that you want to think about what's the best experience you can create for a prospect. Take yourself out of it. Pretend it's not you having to do the delivery because that's going to give some of your own inhibitions and resistance around what you're doing. So like if this was a multi-million dollar company that had just had raving reviews for the experience that it created for their prospects and clients, what would it do? Would it be an extra phone call? Would it be outreach within minutes? Would it be a thank you package when someone comes on as a client? Maybe, you know, would they mail a leather binder with the logo, you know, whatever you want it to be? There's no rules except for the ones that you set. But I encourage you to put yourself in the position of the client. and what would be the ideal scenario? Because there's points throughout the sales process. I call them conversion points, or some people call them decision points. Anywhere that someone has to make a decision, and not just to buy. It's a decision to answer the phone next time you call. It's a decision to jump on the Zoom call when it's scheduled. It's a decision to actually say, yes, I'll have another conversation with you. And so what can you do? Like, just as a quick example, when it comes to sales pages, you should always have a chat bot on a sales page, because that's the point where people are going to be most likely to have questions that haven't been answered. They're considering it. They see a price, go, oh, didn't think about this. I wonder. Oh, but there's a little chat widget right there that can talk to a person or AI or whatever you want. Like, you want to be there to maximize those conversions. But think about it right from the get-go. The first time they see you, is it through an ad? Do they stumble upon a Facebook page? Is it they're searching something on Google and your Google, your business profile pops up? What does that look like? And if you could, like, if money didn't matter, if resources didn't matter, what's the dream deliverables that you would like to give them along that journey, so that even if when the sales conversation happened, the answer was no, I don't think it's the right fit, they're still so excited about the experience, they would love to send you referrals. That's what I would challenge everybody to think about. And when you're doing it, think about what that would look like if you had somebody hired that could do the work of that delivery. It's not you, because, like, take yourself out of it. And when you do that, you've got the dream scenario. You're not going to create it overnight. But once you've got it mapped out, that then becomes the standard that you're reaching for. And now you can go back and go, okay, what's the simplest action I can take to get a little closer? You can do one thing at a time, like just having an automated autoresponder when somebody opts into your website, or making sure that if somebody calls your phone number after hours, it's not a voicemail that they leave. They can actually talk to somebody, even if it's AI, that can go ahead and book the call with you for the next morning so that they're not stuck waiting. So I would just say map it out first. Pretend it's like a dream board of a client experience and go step by step. What would you do? And then you can document it as a process, and then you can put technology behind it. But that's the first step. Like, you don't know how far you're missing the mark if you don't know what the mark is.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Well, I know you also have an assessment that mm-hmm. helps people figure out where their gaps are. You want to tell everybody a little bit about that and where they can Absolutely. Find that? Because that seems like a next logical step in learning more from you and potentially working with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is a sales execution diagnostic. And the idea behind it is the problem that we run into is the execution. It could be the systems, it could be processes, but ultimately we're not executing the way we need to create the results that we want to. So instead of taking as much time as it probably takes to map everything out in your business, you can first just see where the gaps are. And so you can complete this diagnostic. It's totally free. It's 12 to 15 questions. Probably take you 10 minutes max to do. And when you come out, you're going to get a customized report to show you, hey, these are where the gaps are. These are the things that you really need to focus on, because they're the biggest needle movers. And then if you want to move forward and work with us, there's a button you can click to book a call with me, but you don't have to. There's steps that you can take after that as well. So if you'd like to go ahead and complete that, you can go to salesedge.io/Chuck and click that link, complete it. And either way, you're going to get value from it, even if you don't move forward to the next step. The reports, they're customized to you. I've got AI built into it to make it matter. I don't want a template that you can get from a quiz. Right? This is about, much like I'm explaining, you should do in your own sales processes. What's that experience that you want to create? I want to give you the opportunity to get some of the benefits of me doing a full assessment without you having to have me there face-to-face to do it. So how far can we go using the technology, but respecting your time and knowing that maybe you need to check off a few boxes before time one-on-one with me is going to make the most sense.
Yeah, that is really, really great. Well, if you're listening to this on video, and the link for the assessment is right beneath this video. And if you're listening to this on podcast, just open up your phone and the link to Jeremy's assessment is right there. And that sounds like a very logical next step to me, not only for just the awareness, but yeah, you're going to learn a lot too, just in asking yourself those questions for sure. Absolutely. So Jeremy, thanks for that. And thank you for everything that you shared. I know that this topic of sales and how that leads to making a bigger impact, we could probably launch into a 3 or 4 hour workshop on that right now. And perhaps we do that one day. So as we wrap up, any final piece of advice or words of wisdom you want to leave our audience here with today?
I think that the main thing is just if you're in a place where you want to make a big impact, sometimes you got to step outside your comfort zone. And your comfort zone is listening to the voices that say, I don't want to do that. Oh, I don't want to offend somebody. And I look at it as we've got two wolves inside us. And there's this story that talks about the good versus evil. And the two wolves are always battling. And you know, which wolf wins? What's the one you feed? Well, it works the same way when it comes to listening to your insecurities versus the version of you that's out to help people. If you continue to create momentum with the version of you that's destined to help people, to make a difference, to make that impact, that will continue to grow. So whatever the step is that you can take today that maybe makes you a little uncomfortable, but you know is the right thing to do if you really want to make an impact, it's going to help make that next step even easier. So feed the right wolf. Feed the one that's helping people, helping companies, helping the world.
Great words to end this episode by, Jeremy. Thank you. And thank you for your generosity and, you know, your wisdom and everything that you've shared here today. And to our audience, I want to say thank you as well. I want this to be time well spent. If you're listening to my voice right now, it means this resonated with you. I want you to take an action step. Something that you heard us talk about, something that we reminded you of. Maybe it's that follow-up call that you scheduled for next week. Go do it tomorrow. Even better today. And so, but take an action step today. Maybe it's something like that. Or maybe it's to go and take Jeremy's assessment. You know, go and really analyze your sales process and learn where your gaps are. Whatever that is, take an action towards that and then keep moving forward. That is how you overcome the obstacles. That's how you lead yourself to be making the big impact that you want to make. And you might be just one collaboration away from a big breakthrough that you need to make that big impact. And perhaps Jeremy is that person to collaborate with. We are big on collaboration and partnerships here. So remember, there's no obstacle too big to be overcome. You might be just one collaboration away, and your big impact, that big difference that you want to make, please go confidently make that in the world, because we desperately need it. And remember, the only way to fail is to quit. So keep moving forward, everyone. And we'll see you on the next one. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by the Collaborators Toolkit. If you're looking for better ways to grow and scale your business through collaborations and strategic partnerships, our free Collaborators Toolkit contains the best resources from our workshops, as well as contributions from our guests. These tools could be the missing link that you've been looking for to solve everyday business challenges and to access highly effective ideas that can grow your business exponentially. The best part is that these resources, tools, and templates are completely free and our gift to you for being a valued member of our community and a subscriber to our show. You can get free instant access to the Collaborators Toolkit today by visiting our website at www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. That address again is www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. Register today and I'll see you on the inside.